What happened early on that Sunday morning after the resurrection? That's what we're going to investigate today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a great discussion. It's part of our series on Easter, and I think you're going to really gain something special from it. Stay tuned until the end of the broadcast because I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit about some of the free resources we have on our website available for you. With that said, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Bob. How's it going?
Hey, all right. What are we here for?
Well, we are in the middle of our Easter series. If you haven't been following us, please go to iTunes.com. Please go to Stitcher, look up Grace and Focus Radio, or go to our website so you can hear the rest of the series. Well, today we're going to be talking about what actually happened on Resurrection Sunday. That's the day when the giant Easter Bunny had all those eggs.
No, there's no.
It's all about eggs and chocolate and delicious caramel interiors.
Sean.
That's not what it's about?
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure because at my church, there's like an Easter egg hunt, and apparently there was a hunt, Great Hunt or something. I don't know.
This is the problem with calling it Easter Sunday. If you call it Resurrection Sunday, it gets you off to the right start.
Oh, that might be better.
Yeah. Jesus rose from the dead 2 days after he died on the cross on Friday afternoon. Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. Most people who are even vaguely familiar with Christianity have heard about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the empty tomb, etc. But most people don't know the details, and that's what we're going to go over today.
Okay, and so previously in the series, we've been talking about how really right from the beginning, right from Genesis, after the fall, God promised that the seed of the woman, this messianic figure, would come to undo the effects of the fall.
Right. And remember Genesis 3:15, the seed of the serpent would bruise the seed of the woman on the heel. That was a reference to Jesus being crucified. Of course, it also was the way in which Jesus stomped on the head of the seed of the serpent. He destroyed Satan and his power by his very death on the cross. But it wasn't the death only. It was the death / resurrection. It was this combination of the death and resurrection of Jesus that was the victory.
Right. And then we looked at some passages in the Psalms, Psalm 22, and we looked at Isaiah 53.
Right.
These very powerful passages about the coming death and also hints of the resurrection of the Messiah as well.
Right.
And reaping this kind of kingdom. Well, now we're actually going to go to the actual day. I mean, this is the culmination of history. Everything was pointing to this day, Resurrection Sunday.
And by the way, that's why we worship on Sunday, is because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. But before we even get to Sunday morning, we ought to consider what happened on Friday and Saturday. Pilate did two things to make sure that the tomb was secure, because there were already concerns by the Jewish leaders that maybe the disciples would steal the body or somebody would steal the body because Jesus had promised that he would rise from the dead. And so they were determined not to allow any shenanigans to take place. And what Pilate did was two things. First of all, he put a Roman seal on the tomb. A rock was put in front of it, and then the seal was put on it.
They had to take that seal from a long way.
It was
from the water somewhere.
It wasn't a seal.
It was
from
like
the ocean.
Attack seal.
No, it's like the seal made of wax, and you put your ring in it, and it says, "Look, anybody who breaks this seal is going to get the wrath of Rome," which in this case probably would have been death by crucifixion. So, number one, it's got a wax seal on it to seal the stone. But number two, he set guards in place over the tomb. And most people think this was 16 different soldiers who rotated in. And so there'd be a minimum of four there at any given time. Maybe more, but at least four at any given time. All through the night, all through the day, all the time, there were four soldiers. And if these soldiers allowed anyone to violate the tomb, then they would be subject to death by crucifixion as well. So Pilate made the tomb secure. And it was on Sunday morning when the women come to the tomb that we find out that something amazing has happened.
Right. And so that brings us to Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is Saturday.
Right. So we know we're looking at Sunday morning.
As the first day of the week began to dawn.
Sunday's the first day of the week.
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb.
Now, why did they come?
Well, they came because they wanted to, I don't know, were they expecting to get inside? I mean, if it had been sealed and guarded?
Well, they were hoping to get someone to roll away the stone, but they were there to anoint the body.
Mm-hmm. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it.
We have multiple miracles taking place here. A miracle is not necessarily something which is contrary to nature. It's something where the timing is so amazing that it's clearly an act of God. This earthquake, the timing of the earthquake is so amazing. This is a sign from God,
right,
that God has shaken up human history.
Right.
With the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
And it's interesting because, you know, creation reacted to the cross. You know, when Jesus died,
yes,
on the cross, everything got dark. And so there's an earthquake, and then there's an angel of the Lord, interestingly, who descends from heaven and rolls back the stone and sits on it.
Right. So you have this angel appearing, which that's another amazing thing because most of us have never seen an angel. And if we have, we wouldn't know it.
Right.
But here there's an angel and the angel rolls away the stone. Now, this is some huge stone that's going to typically take several strong men to get out of the way. But this one angel just gets it out of the way. The angel then sits upon it.
I mean, he's just sitting there.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting detail.
Right.
He's just chilling out like,
yeah,
oh, man, these guys are just going to, their minds are going to be blown when they see, or these gals, I should say.
Right. They didn't come here expecting this to happen.
No.
They came,
yeah,
here expecting to weep over the body, to anoint the body, etc. But instead, they find an earthquake, they find the stone being rolled away by an angel and the angel sitting upon it. And then what is...
Well, and also I want to say, and props to them, because the women were not afraid to identify with Jesus.
Right.
The women are there, not the men. The men are like kind of in a disillusioned haze, kind of hanging out like,
right,
back at home. But the women are still concerned about Jesus and they don't care, apparently. Who knows that they love Jesus?
Sure, that's right.
Very powerful. Verse 3, talking about the angel of the Lord. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Verse 4, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. So the guards see this angel.
The guards experience the earthquake. The guards see the angel, and the guards are scared to death. Now, they realize, of course, their lives are on the line because here the tomb has now been opened, and it's not supposed to be opened. But there was nothing they could do about it. And they see this being, which is more than a human,
mm-hmm,
someone who's so glowing, etc., that this is some sort of angelic being, a divine being. They're struck with more fear about him than they are about what Pilate will do to them.
Right. And so they're like dead men, right?
Right.
They become, I don't know what that's like. They just get knocked on the ground and they're just unresponsive, you know? Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, so I guess the women arrive at some point. I wonder if they see this. Do they see all,
sure,
this happening?
Oh, yeah.
So they see this happening, and the angel says to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you.
So when he says, don't be afraid, obviously this is said in contrast. Matthew wants us to understand this with these soldiers, which are some of the bravest, strongest, fiercest people in all of the Roman Empire, and they're afraid.
Right.
In fact, they're catatonic.
Right.
And you've got the women who are not to be afraid, that this is a cause of rejoicing, not a cause of fear.
Right.
And they're to go tell the disciples, which is, of course, what they do.
It's almost like they evangelize the evangelists eventually.
Right. That's
very
a good point. Yeah, exactly.
Verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Interesting, both emotions at the same time.
Yeah.
And ran to bring his disciples word.
And we know from the other Gospels that the disciples do come to the tomb. You remember Peter and John run there?
Run. And John is faster.
Yeah, John arrives first. But John is also a little less pushy than Peter. And Peter just goes right in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so Peter's there in the tomb and John follows him in. They see the fact that Jesus is not there, but that the grave clothes are there, but they've been set very neatly at mm-hmm. the place where he lay. They come to faith. We're told specifically that John comes to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead at that point. Up to that point, they did not believe he was going to rise from the dead.
Right, but they had believed in him for eternal life.
Right.
And they knew about the resurrection in general.
Right.
But they just didn't know that was going to happen to Messiah.
Right. Probably, Sean, they had stopped believing this was Messiah. This is when the disciples now realize that indeed this is Messiah. He then appears to all the 11 except for Thomas, who's not in the room. And finally, a week later, he even appears to Thomas, and we get his great declaration, "My Lord and my God," in John 20:28. Over the course of 40 days, Jesus appeared many times, but this day, the very day of Resurrection Sunday, he appeared to multiple people of his disciples, both men and women, and he set the stage for the birth of the church and the growth and development of that church.
Right. The reason why these very common people, these women, these fishermen, these people who are basically cowering in fear at the death of Jesus, the reason why they completely changed their life and took on the entire Jewish establishment and even the Roman establishment with this new message of the risen Messiah is because something actually happened to them.
Amen. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that incredibly vivid depiction of what happened on that early Sunday morning after the resurrection. During the discussion, Sean mentioned our podcast, which you might wonder how to get access to. You may wonder how much does it cost. Well, actually, it's free, and you can have access to it through our website, faithalone.org. In addition to our podcast, we also have a free subscription waiting for you to our print magazine, also called Grace in Focus. In addition to that, we've got blog posts that go up on a regular basis. You can get details on upcoming live events that we're doing around the country. I hope that you'll join us for one of those. You may feel led to give a gift to our ministry to help us continue doing what we're doing. You can do all of this and more at faithalone.org. Maybe today's discussion or a previous episode has raised questions or comments for you. I'd like to give you our email so you could reach out to us. We love to hear from listeners. Our email is easy to remember. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. Well, next time on the broadcast, how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? What a central question. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow to hear the answer to that question and many others. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.